This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome to The Encouragers with Minister Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, bringing words of encouragement for everyday life.
Our Father, who art in heaven, omnipresent, everywhere, at the same time, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My topic for today is Assurance of Faith, Part 2. Our assurance of salvation does not come from a confidence in some subjectively measured inner witness, nor how warm our affections for God are at any given moment. Rather, our assurance comes from a growing confidence in Christ's saving work that purchased the fulfillment of all his great promises to us and his power to keep them. 2 Peter 1:4 states, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Greater assurance comes through stronger faith, and faith only grows stronger through the vigorous exercising of testing. Looking unto the promise of God, Abraham wavered not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able to perform. 1 John 3:18, 19, and 24 states, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." Every child of God has need of the assurance of faith, the full certainty of faith that the Lord has received him and made him his child. The Holy Scripture always speaks to Christians as those who know that they are redeemed, that they are now children of God, and that they have been received eternal life. Can a child love or serve his father while he is uncertain whether his father will really acknowledge him as a child? Scripture names three things by which we have our certainty. First, faith in the word. After that, works. And then, in and with both of these, the Holy Spirit. First, faith is the word. Abraham is to us the great exemplar of faith and also of the assurance of faith. And what then says the scripture about the certainty that he had? He was fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. His expectation was only from God and what God had promised. He relied upon God to do what he had said. The promise of God was for him his only but sufficient assurance of faith. There are many young Christians who think that faith is the word, think that the word is not sufficient to give full certainty, that they would rather have something more. They imagine that assurance, a sure inward feeling or conviction, is what is given above or outside of faith. This is wrong. And I have need of nothing more than the word of a trustworthy man to give me complete certainty. So must the word of God be my certainty? People err because they seek something in themselves and in their feeling. No, the whole of salvation comes from God. The soul must not be occupied with itself or its work, but with God. He that forgets himself to hear what God says and to rely on his promise as something worthy of credit has in his fact the full assurance of faith. He does not doubt the promises, but is strong in faith, giving God the glory and being fully assured that what was promised, God is able to perform. Then the scripture names also works. Here, carefully observe this. Assurance by faith in the promise without works comes first. The godless man who received grace knows only this, only from the word. But then later on, assurance is to follow from works. By works was faith made perfect. The tree is planted in faith without fruits. But when the time of fruit arrives and no fruit appears, then I may doubt. The more clearly I, at the onset, hold the assurance of faith without works, on the word alone, the more certainly shall works follow. And both assurance of faith, by faith and by works, come by the Spirit, not by the word alone, and not by works, as something that I myself do, but by the word as the instrument of the Spirit, and by works as the fruit of the Spirit. As a child, the heavenly certification that he is the Lord's. Democrats celebrated Congress's swift passage of the Inflation Reduction Act after any deals on the party's big agenda items seemed out of reach. It was sent to President Biden's desk. Oh, let us believe in Jesus as our life and abide in him. An assurance of faith shall never be lacking to us. Almighty God, teach us to find our assurance of faith in a life with thee, in cordial reliance upon thy promises, and in cordial obedience to thy commands. Let thy Holy Spirit also witness with our spirit that we are children of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's remember these points. Number one, the importance of the assurance of faith lies in the fact that I cannot possibly love or serve as a child of God of whom or I do not know whether he loves and acknowledges me as his child. Number two, the whole Bible is one great proof for the assurance of faith. Abraham and Moses knew well that God had received them. Otherwise, they could not serve or trust him. Israel knew that God had redeemed them. For this reason, they had to serve God. How much more must this be the case in the greater redemptive of the New Testament? All the epistles are written to men of whom it is presupposed that they know and confess that they are redeemed, holy children of God. And number three, faith and obedience are inseparable as root and fruit. First, there must be the root, and then the fruit must have their time. The root must have their time without fruits. Then later on come surely the fruits. First, assurance without fruits by living faith in the word. Then further assurance comes from fruits. It is in a life with Jesus that assurance of faith is exalted firmly above all doubt. Number four, assurance of faith is much helped by confession. When we express what we express becomes for us more evident. We are bound and confirmed by it. And number five, it is at the feet of Jesus, looking up into his friendly countenance, listening to his loving promises. It is in talking with Jesus himself in prayer that all doubtfulness of mind falls away. Go forward for the full assurance of faith. Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross to redeem us from our sins. Therefore, let us trust in his redemptive work on the cross and have the full assurance of faith in his promises of eternal life. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. There is the saving power of the Holy Spirit. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of a living God, and are willing to confess your sins to God and ask for forgiveness, God will forgive you. If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager. Today's topic is the answer to fear, false evidence appearing real. Months after the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks on Washington and New York, psychiatrists reported that people who lived far away from these tragic events were still coming to them paralyzed by fear. We live in a world shaken by fear, anxiety, and worry, especially during this COVID-19 pandemic. What is the answer to this stifling fear? After Jesus had been put to death, his disciples huddled in fear behind closed doors, filled with uncertainty and despair. But suddenly they found themselves in the presence of their living Lord. And at his words, their fears disappeared. Jesus said, "Peace, shalom, to you," in Luke 24:36. The answer to our fears is found in a personal faith in the living, glorified Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And the answer to collective fear is a corporate faith in the living, glorified Lord. The answer to tensions and fears is for the world to know him who is alive forevermore. We worship a risen Christ who has broken the power of sin, death, and hell and is alive forevermore. Why then should we fear? There is nothing to fear when our faith is in God. I love verse 2 of the song, No Longer Slaves, which says, "From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into his family. Your blood runs through my veins. I am no longer a slave to fear, for I am a child of God." But perhaps you don't feel as if you have a relationship with God. You sense that you have missed the mark, and you may even feel alienated from God. You probably heard that Jesus came to save us from our sin, but you're not sure how that works. Well, if that's the case, I've got good news for you. Remember, all of us have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. Yet, be encouraged because God gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, who died between two criminals, was buried in a borrowed tomb. But early on the third day, he arose with all power in his hands so that you may have everlasting life. God loves us and desires that we experience the answer to fear in our daily lives. So what's the bottom line for overcoming fear? Put God first in your life. Trust and obey his word. And when fear calls your name, allow your faith in God to answer the call.